I'm very happy to be talking with our very special guest, one of my favorite all-time artists, Mr. Robin Hitchcock. I probably don't need to tell you, but as a quick refresher, Robin Hitchcock has been releasing his surrealist rock and roll for 6 decades now as both a solo artist with his bands The Soft Boys and The Egyptians. His latest album is Shuffle Mania, which is getting great reviews. He's in town for a couple of shows at Zebulon. Hello, Robin Hitchcock. Welcome to the SoCal Sound.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm very happy to be hanging out here with you today.
Nice to see you again after all this.
Yes, yes. I know you've been doing a lot of traveling. How is the road treating you these days?
The road is almost identical to how it was, but the me it's treating is a little bit older and more decrepit, so just have to be a bit more careful, I suppose, these days. You know how it is.
I believe I do. Now, I've noticed a theme in some of your album and song titles. There's the man with the light bulb head, the man who invented himself, the man upstairs, the man downstairs, the balloon man, of course, and the new one is the shuffle man from the new album, Shuffle Mania. Can you tell us who is the shuffle man? What is Shuffle Mania?
Well, the shuffle man is the imp of change. He's like the Hungarian who goes in a revolving door behind you and comes out ahead of you. He is the person who says, sort of, take any card, and then they suddenly one's in your hand. He's a trickster, he's a joker, a sort of con man, but he's also someone you've got to kind of stay on the right side of. It's like the old gods, you know, you had to kind of propitiate gods. Gods, generally, you're advised to sort of treat carefully and with respect. You don't have to make sacrifices to the shuffle man, but you kind of, yeah, like all these things, they all want to be acknowledged and sort of flattered and whatever, and then maybe fortune will smile kindly on you. But the shuffle man is so, it's a bit like, it's almost like the Joker. Is he benign or is they benign? Half of them is, you know. It depends which way you're holding the playing card up.
Gotcha. And he's Hungarian, you say?
Oh, that saying is about Hungarians, that a Hungarian, you know, Hungarians are tricky. They'll go in a revolving door behind you and come out ahead of you. They're
gotcha.
That sort of prestidigitation they can do. The shuffle man, whatever the shuffle man's, you know, its wit is much quicker than one's own, yeah.
Well, good to know. When I listen to it again, I'm glad to have that in mind. You recorded this new album, Shuffle Mania, during the lockdown in many locations around the world with many special guests, including Johnny Marr, Brendan Benson, Sean Ono Lennon, to name a few. How did the recording go during the crazy time that we are hopefully getting out of?
Well, the recording was just done in my house in East Nashville. My bit was. But then their bits were all done where they were locked down in their compounds and modules across the world. So you had, you know, Davey Lane down in Melbourne, Australia, and Sean Lennon up in upstate New York. And Brendan Benson was actually just 2 miles from me up the road in Nashville. So some of them were quite local. Pat Sansone, who's in Wilco, also did quite a lot of work on it to begin with. Pat and Brendan were local, but then other people were thousands of miles away. You know, Kimberly Rue in Cambridge and Johnny Marr in Manchester. Annalisa Fruchtdahl was over in Oslo. But they were all stuck at home, so you had this lovely paradox that whilst nobody could go anywhere, they couldn't get away either. So I sat there with my cats, Ringo and Tubby, just writing these songs and doing the basic guitar vocals, and then I'd just send them off to people. Then eventually they all got mixed in Cardiff, South Wales, by Charlie. And we did, because we were over in London for a while, so one song was done at Abbey Road, Socrates in Thin Air. But the drums were done in Texas. And the guitar was done in Cambridge. So, you know, almost no song on that record was done in one continent. I'm proud to say that's my contribution to rock that year, you know.
Ah, this crazy world these days.
everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. We just heard one of the songs that you did acoustically that Sean Lennon was a guest on. I know, obviously, you're a big fan of John Lennon. It must have been great to work with Sean. Did you know him prior to the recording?
Yes, Sean's one of those people I met on Twitter. He introduced himself to me on Twitter.
He must be a fan, I'm sure.
He's into psychedelia, you know, and he's a connoisseur of the music his father made at that period, and, you know, others like Sid Barrett and the Sid Pink Floyd and all of that. So I saw Sean's band Delirium playing in New York a few years ago, and they started with Astronomy Domini, the first song off the first Pink Floyd album, mm-hmm. which I used to do in the Soft Boys, and they ended with Tomorrow Never Knows.
Nice.
So I thought, okay, he's obviously, you know, he's got the pedigree. We had a jam. He's a really good drummer. He plays drums on that track.
Right.
And a load of other things, sort of keyboards and sort of tropical noises and vocoders. And I'm not entirely sure. He's playing about five or six different things. You know, they all turned up with different things. Johnny Marr plays quite a lot in The Life of Scorpio. He's playing the drums and the piano and things I didn't know he played, but that's what he sent back to me. I didn't really ask people to do anything specific. I just sent them the songs and saw what they sent back to me, whatever they felt they could do to it.
Very cool.
Which was fun.
Yeah, excellent. The song with Sean is One Day. It's being scheduled, which sounded great, the acoustic version.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
I know you had a big birthday recently. The big 7-0.
Yes, over the waterfall.
And you seem busier than ever. In addition to the new album and tour, you have a new all-instrumental album coming, a book of lyrics, new recordings regularly from your Patreon group each month, which I'm proud to be a member of. You've got the Tiny Ghost record label with your lovely and talented partner, Emma Swift. You're a painter. I think it's safe to say you are an overachiever.
Wow.
You look great as well. Have you been drinking from some special fountain? How do you do it? How do you keep all this up?
Fountain of indie rock. I still listen to the Beatles twice a day. a moisturizing campaign. I think Emma has an awful lot to do with everything's. Once the pandemic kicked in, within 2 weeks, she had us doing that weekly show, which is now live from Tubby's house.
Right.
But that was live from Sweet Home Quarantine, which is basically her and me chatting and me playing a few requests and her harmonizing. You know, she's a fantastic singer.
Beautiful. So
when we get, she's on that record as well. And she put out her Blonde on the Tracks album. We had Tiny Ghost as a sort of little merchandising thing, but it wasn't very serious. But then she put out her Bob Dylan, finished her album of Dylan covers, again, within 3 weeks of lockdown. You know, we got a little Zoom machine and worked out how to use one track at a time, and because we're both fairly technophobic. She got that going, she got Patreon going. Her record did very well. And the rules all changed in Patreon, you know, so you'd suddenly find that you could be a record company at home. Again, you couldn't see anybody, but you could order stuff. We had a pressing plant in Norway who did a very reasonable rate and got them to us within 6 weeks. So there we were mailing this stuff out to people we couldn't see via people we couldn't touch, you know. Someone would come around with a mask and you'd hand them things. And so then I decided to do Shuffle Mania, you know, because she got the distribution in place. But Shuffle Mania, the queue to press records had gone up to 10 months. So that album was actually ready nearly a year before it came out. Whereas Blonde on the Tracks was really quick. So sorry, these are the facts that preoccupy the family head, along with, you know, Ringo and Tubby and keeping the menagerie going. Yeah, we're insanely busy. It's true.
Well, that's great. That's great. I mentioned you have an instrumental album, Life After Infinity. Yeah. Tell me about that one.
Life After Infinity. Well, I've been playing instrumentals for longer than I've been writing songs. You know, starting in the late 60s, I'd do these sort of faux Indian guitar noodles, which was sort of fashionable then, really. People like Roy Harper and the Incredible String Band and George Harrison, all that, you know, crudely called Indian-esque stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been doing that for about 50 years or so. And M said, well, why don't you record it? You can just, it wouldn't be that hard.
You've got the label.
I've got the label. And we've also, but I have a few, I had a few bits I'd officially composed. So some of it was improvised, but it's improvisations I've been doing for years. And others are little pieces I wrote. But I also think it's quite good to take words out of the picture, because you can confuse, or I can confuse people very easily with words. Maybe it's my special gift. But you take away the words, people can't really, they can't read it wrong. I mean, either they like it or they don't, but it's just on a primal level. So I wanted to see what it, how people would take it and what it would do for them. I love it. I love playing it. I hope people like listening to it. But it's,
that's coming out pretty
that's
soon.
That's physically arriving like in a couple of weeks, I think. Yeah.
Look forward to checking that out.
Oh God, it's on coloured vinyl, you know. Oh, it's fantastic. It's on cassette.
Wow.
I think one of the fun things that Emma has discovered, or you know, we both share this, it's just, oh man, we're going to do 100 cassettes. Yes. Is anyone going to buy this? You know, it's really, every time, you must have noticed this in the business, every time something is about to become completely obsolete, it becomes a fetish. You know, with the cult of the cassette and now the CD, and, you know.
Well, I look forward to hearing that. I'm sure it'll be coming soon. I know you are a great lover of rock and roll and rock and roll history. You've talked eloquently about your love for Syd Barrett, the Beatles, Bob Dylan. You know, I feel you're like a big fan, just like all of us.
Yeah.
Now you're on tour. What's playing on the cassette player in the van these days?
Well, actually, I wish it's Bart, who's driving the van at the moment, was playing all instrumentals actually yesterday. And then when we got to, what's the range of mountains at Bakersfield called? The Great Divide, you know, those little mountains, Bakersfield, you know, that where Western swing came from centuries ago. That moved over to the Byrds. So we had a constant, we had Byrds for the last hour and a half.
The Byrds?
The Byrds. Stuff I'd heard, stuff I'd never heard. You know, Crosby recently passed away. And he was a really good singer. He wasn't always his own best publicist, but he was actually an extremely talented guy, probably the most interesting musical member of the Byrds. Even if McGuinn's sort of stamp of the 12 string and things was the signature, but I loved all that. So I very seldom get to play with the band, because Kelly Stoltz is opening the show. He's also one of my favorite songwriters. He's based in San Francisco. He's also playing drums in my outfit, which includes Kurt Block from the Young Fresh Fellows and the Fastbacks and Scott McCoy's gang up in the Northwest, you know, and Bartholomew Davenport from way down here in LA, who appears in all sorts of places. So we got, it's just coalesced, this three piece. So we're going back from, you know, Soft Boy stuff up to Shuffle Mania. Funny thing about this business, particularly when you actually get into the rock and roll bit of it, the bit of things I can't even see, I have to have people have to plug things in for me now. I can't lift amps. I just pulled my back, you know, and so I'm pretty at other people's mercy, but people always seem to step in. So somehow I'm still up there playing this stuff. And rock and roll is definitely an old person's game now, you know. somehow there's always those people 10 years ahead of you who are still there, and they've gone over many waterfalls, but, you know, Jagger, Richard, Dylan, McCartney, Ringo, Rod Stewart, you know, they're all a decade older than me, and they're still...
The Who? I just saw the Who recently, yeah.
How was that?
It was great. It was really good. Daltrey sounded good. Pete was on fire with his guitar.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he still do the windmill with the arms?
He does the windmill occasionally, not quite as ferociously. No smashed guitars or anything like that, but he was definitely having a good time up there and sounded great. They're putting out a live album. I don't know that I need to have a new live album from The Who, especially after some of the live albums they've done in the past, but but the show was great. The show was a lot of fun.
Wow. I heard they didn't do anything before Tommy. Is that right? Somebody saw him.
That could be true. I don't recall any of the older tracks.
I saw him about 10 years ago, and they were still doing a couple of things. Oh, like Anywhere, Can't Explain, you know, those sorts of...
But, classics.
Yeah, well, I remember Daltrey saying in Cream magazine, did you ever read that?
Yes.
In the 70s?
Uh-huh. It's back. They're up and running again.
Are they?
Cream, yeah.
Wow. God, I remember just a quote from Daltrey saying, we'll be rocking in our wheelchairs. And at this point, they were probably 32, 33, you know.
It's interesting, those guys in their 30s were saying, you know, how they're getting older, and, you know, and now it's, you know, 30, 40, 50 years later, 40 years later, they're still rocking.
Yeah, I mean, Bart and Kelly, the guys in my band, I think of them as the young guys, but they're both over 50. So, you know, it really is senior citizens' parade.
Yes, yes. I have a question from a listener.
Oh, yeah.
A question from Jeff B. from San Clemente, California. I believe I might enjoy Robin's surreal and hilarious between-song banter as much as his songs. As a performer myself, I want to be able to do this too. How do you do it? How do you tell these stories that you come up with at your shows? It's just mind-blowing.
I think it's going on all the time, but most people can't access it. I mean, I've only ever been me in this life, so I don't know how other people think. But the mechanism that creates dreams, which seems to be an almost random mental process, because dreams are so irrational, they seem to have so little connection to the way people normally live. I think it's going on the whole time, and I've just accessed it so much. I've got a very thin line between my conscious and my unconscious. So this means I'm really bad at filling in forms and tax returns. I can't drive. You know, there's lots of things people could do that I can't. It's really difficult for me to do that. Bank transfers and things. But I can access just what's going on in the back of my head. And if you're on stage, you get a bit of adrenaline. So it's not like I walk up to the cactus and start ranting at it or anything, you know. But I, in a funny way, I think it's a thing you can just sort of practice and you get used to it. But it is, I've got a very thin portal.
It is truly amazing what you do.
That's the truth, Jeff.
Yeah, all right. Now, these last two questions, I visited the artificial intelligence bot. You familiar with these bots that can write a song for you or write a book for you?
Yeah.
So I said, I'm looking for some questions for Robin Hitchcock. And they came up with a couple of things.
They've never asked me a question before.
Well, I'm going to ask them.
What are they saying?
Your music is known for its whimsical and surreal lyrics. Can you talk about your creative process and how you come up with your songwriting ideas?
And this is from a bot,
Yes.
Okay, bot. Well, you have access to all the known information in the world. It's like the Tower of Babel in the old story. So all you have to do is access everything and then randomize it. And if you don't like that, you simply prune it down until you do like it. So you start with chaos and you make a little bit of order. And I'm sure a good bot could do it as easily as me. Okay.
And finally, from the bot, What do you hope audiences take away from your music, and what do you hope your legacy as a musician will be?
My legacy as a musician, I hope, will be that if artificial intelligence replaces us, or comes to be our dominant partner in the next 20 or 30 years, my songs will fit perfectly in there, and all those iPhone 27s will go around whistling Madonna of the Wasps. And furthermore, they'll all be able to write songs like me, and so the way I write songs will actually become the legacy of human songwriting, along with, of course, all the other songs.
Right.
But my process will fit into how they do it. So see, that's why they asked me those questions.
Thank you so much. You know what a big fan I am. I love you. You're a great artist. And thanks for talking to us. Give my best to Emma and Tubby and Ringo. And,
I totally will. I've got to text them in a minute.
Excellent. And take good care of yourself. And let's keep
thanks,
in touch.
Gary. It's lovely to see you.
Right on. Great. Likewise.
See you later.
Robin Hitchcock, the new album is Shuffle Mania.
Oh, yes.
And it's out on the world famous Tiny Ghost Records. And thank you again, Robin Hitchcock.
Thanks, Gary.
I don't know many actors or what an actor knows. All I do is ponder. All I do is wonder about the inner life of Scorpios. No, I don't know many actors, but when I get to shows, I marvel from the circle, or I marvel from the cheap seats at the inner life of Scorpio. It's hard to read an actor. They're a book that's quick to close, but nobody's escaping. Nobody's escaping from the inner life of Scorpio. Inner life of Scorpio. Surface shows how deep the feelings go. It racks your very being, and it rocks your way of seeing. It's the inner life of the Scorpio. Such an inner life, baby. You've got such an inner life, yeah. Oh, you've got such an inner life. Like every dream companion, they'll sting you on the nose. It's some kind of voodoo. They hurt more than you do. It's the inner life of the Scorpio. The inner lives of Scorpio. Sense of dread and a hammer in my head, fully clothed upon the bed. I wake up to the world that lately I've been living in. There's a cut upon my brow, I must have banged myself somehow, but I can't remember now. The front door's open wide, lately I've let things slide. I go to the bin, throw the laundry in, pick out the cleanest shirt. When all at once my heart is seized by exquisite hurt. Smoking I once quit, now I've got one lit. I just fell back into it. Along with my pride, lately I've let things slide. I go to the bin, I throw the laundry in, and I pick out the cleanest shirt. When all at once my heart is seized, but I don't really hurt. That untouched takeaway I brought home the other day has got quite a lot to say. The evidence is clear on every side, piled high and wide, about how lately I've let things slide. I'm just about holding on, but lately I've let things slide. One day, the sky will turn into the sea. One day, the ugly truth will be made over to beauty. And one day, enlightenment will blossom from your porch. And one day, that lonesome astronaut will be the one to launch. One day, the fish will roost up in the macadamia tree. And one day, there'll be an antidote, and you'll come home to me. One day we'll lure the parasite out where we can see it, and nobody will ever want to feed it. One day, one day, one day. One day, the pretty sufferers will climb out of their hole. And one day, the sun will shine on their disjointed souls. One day, when you are empty, you'll discover just what full is. And one day, the human race will not be run by bullies. One day, one day, one day. One day, the engineers will come and start up your machine, and I'll develop feelings for everyone I've seen. One day, the color of your skin won't be the great divide. And one day, you'll care how other people feel inside. One day, one day, one day, between your life and death, don't hold your breath. It's being scheduled. Gone. Some other man will be here.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Gary Calamar. Session recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound Sessions are a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.